We are back again with the Polish the Mirror podcast. I'm your host, Amy Thurman, and I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. If you have not caught one of these before, welcome. If you would like to see the others, go to hashtag Polish the Mirror podcast. They are streaming live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, all the things, which reminds me, I need to go over here and connect to Instagram. Let me do that real quick. All the places, we're streaming on all the places live, and then I upload the audio to all of the podcasting platforms. So you can find us, just search for Polish the Mirror podcast, and we will be there. The purpose of this podcast is a reflection of me and my life. If you are not familiar with my story, just in short, I have lived the past 10 years with a broken neck and went from being completely incapacitated to now I live an empowered life. And so I was able to find hope in the midst of adversity, and I love helping others be able to share their stories of finding hope in the midst of adversity too. So that's what this is all about. So buckle in. I got a good conversation for you today coming up with my friend, James. Let me pull him up here to the stage. Welcome, welcome, James. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, great. I'm really grateful that you have me on here. I really actually fully get behind the concept of what you're doing here with Polish the Mirror, because I do believe that you find your greatest abilities, your greatest strengths in your greatest adversity. So great conversation, yeah. I hope. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole, you know, the whole concept of Polish the Mirror is to polish the mirror, look deep within and find, look, you know, contact your soul, your authentic self, to see what's actually in there and who you can become. And there is hope. You can find hope in the midst of adversity. And so that's what we're all about here. So I'm so glad that it resonates with you. I'm excited to hear not only your story of hope gained in the midst of adversity, but the other things that you've learned along the way. So I'm just going to turn it over to you and allow you to share whatever you want to share about that story. And we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah. You know, for me, I would say, it's hard sometimes, you know, unless you have a specific incident like you. For me, my big adversity kind of came to a head. I would say the moment it came to a head was in 1999. It was around Christmas time, and I was ready to kill myself. I had a plan. I had all laid out. I had everything set up. And, you know, if people had looked at my outside life, they would have never known. In fact, no one did know. Everyone thought my life was perfect. I was fresh out of graduate school. I had a good job. I had a beautiful wife. I lived in a really cool place in Vancouver in Canada. And, you know, by outward appearances, I had this fantastic life, and I was deeply, deeply unhappy.
Wow.
And I had not yet learned to dive into what makes me tick. I was constantly in a space of trying to appease and please everyone around me with what I thought they wanted from me, giving up everything that I wanted, and led to a real bad depression. Well, you know, combination of things. It led to a really bad depression. And in the moment of being ready to kill myself, I thought, I need to just give it one more chance. And I reached out, I got some help, I hired a therapist. And I actually wrote a song at that time. I play guitar and I wrote a song, and that song has stuck with me. And every year at Christmas time, I reflect on how I was feeling in that time, which is now what, 19 in 2000. So 24 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
Right. It was 24 years ago. And in 2020, I'm going through a divorce. I was supposed to have my kids for Christmas, but they weren't going to come see me. The divorce was contentious, and my ex, you know, had done everything in her power to keep the kids away from me. And, I legally had them supposed to be coming, but they weren't going to come. And I was actually in the hospital. I got diverticulosis. So I'm in the hospital Christmas Eve, and this song comes to my mind, right? Because this is a space where I reflect, and I'm sitting there lying in bed, and I'm not happy. I'm not happy about my situation. I'm not happy that I don't have my kids.
Yeah.
And I'm not suicidal. I'm not depressed. There's a difference, right?
Yes.
And I realized that, and I thought, oh my goodness, what a beautiful thing. And there's a lyric in my song that says, When you were young, you set big goals and they sounded great. Now you're old and with none of them done, it's a bit too late. I wrote those words when I was 30 years old. And here I was 50 years old thinking, man, I got a whole lot ahead of me. A whole lot. While I'm lying in what everyone would appear to be a situation that is one that would drive you to death, right?
Yes, right.
And that incongruity in those situations was really comforting to me at the time. And it really helped me reflect on what I had done to overcome that place. And that was really what started my journey into the study of emotional intelligence, what it means. How do we engage? How does that impact our relationships? And I'm not talking just about relationships that are intimate. I'm talking about all relationships. And right. I think it's honestly somewhat foolish of us to try to separate those. The Gottman Institute has wonderful information on how to solve your most intimate relationships. And you can just take that and put it into business. You can put it into friendships. You can put it into everything. It works really well, right?
So, great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of what I do with emotional intelligence now. But I mean, I focus specifically on businesses now, but it really helped me to delve into something that I remember meeting my therapist the first time. And they would say, you check in, how are you doing today? And you have to say a real adjective. You can't just say good, which is what I would say. Yeah. I can't say good. I can't say bad. I have to say something. I honestly would draw a blank. I had no idea how I was feeling.
Right.
And that's, I'm not alone in that, right? And I'd sit there in this room and they would hand out a sheet of adjectives of how you would feel. And you'd scroll through me. Maybe I feel anxious. I don't know. You know, like I didn't know. I had never really checked in.
Yeah.
And so I began to learn how to check in and how to feel. And I began to have examples of how that changed and transformed my capacity to connect with others.
That's so powerful. I mean, you think about as kids, like I was a teacher, I worked in the public school system for 10 years and they would take, and they still do, as far as I know, like pictures of emotions. Like this is what the face looks like when you're happy. This is what a sad face looks like, you know, and that's what we're taught. That's all we're taught about.
Yeah.
How to recognize emotions. And from my research, and I know you know this is true, that's not always the case exactly in your life. You look at a person, you from your perspective, they may look happy, but that may not be what they're actually feeling.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
It is a whole thing. Yeah. It just, you know, and so, you know, this app that you discovered, Vibonics, the app that I use it in my coaching. And the reason that I do is because as a society, as a culture, you know, I talk to a lot of women because women are very interested in emotional intelligence. Women are willing to engage with their emotions and men typically are not, because in our society, that is the level of it. And so women are like, well, we're more emotionally intelligent. And yes, if you want to measure the bar like that, right? If you're watching a soccer game of four-year-olds on the playground, there will be a couple on the field that actually got a better sense of the game. Are they good at soccer? No, they're not. But are they better than the rest on the field? Yeah, they are. So feeling emotions is a level of emotional intelligence. But literally, you know, saying I'm an emotionally intelligent person because I can feel my emotions is not the essence of it, right? And so we as a society are very low. Harvard did a study. And they asked people if they're aware of what they're feeling. Just, are you aware of the emotions that you carry within you? And 95% of people believe they are, right? Everyone's like, oh yeah, I know what I'm feeling. The truth is, it has a range of like 10 to 15% of people only know.
I agree. I believe that.
Yeah. So really, we have a major, major disconnect between what we think and how we believe we're doing with the reality of how we're doing. And we see that everywhere. When people are being triggered and talking to each other and fighting at work and lashing out, all of this to me are signs of trauma or pain or hurt or something that you have not dealt with emotionally. And now, instead of reacting to what's going on in front of you, you're reacting to what happened in your past.
Exactly.
And that creates the problem right here in front that's happening now. So yeah. Once we clean up that and we deal with that, you can really begin to communicate.
Yes, it's so true. And really, this whole concept right here is the reason. I don't know if you knew that I did this, but I did a whole series on 100 different emotions.
Hmm.
Like I created a chart, an emotion frequency chart.
That's awesome. It's
based on the emotional frequency of each emotion and show them, you know, if this is what you are feeling, this is where you fall. You're in this stage. But we want to move you up to this stage. But I had people come on and talk about their experiences feeling different emotions, 100 different ones. And it was fascinating to me, you know, the things that they shared and feeling that specific emotion that I would not have connected with that specific emotion.
Yeah.
And so it's like, we don't know what all is out there. We don't know what is possible. Yeah. And you know this, but the research shows that emotions are tools. Like they're to help us. They're part of our body's communication system to bring us messages to tell us when we need to pay attention to something. And when we allow them to do their job, it takes 90 seconds for them to come in, send the message, and then dissipate. Unless we grab onto them and we hold them and we keep them in the emotional loop. Do you want to talk about that?
Oh, I love this. I know you know your stuff. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me close the loop on that story, though, first. So the reason I use Vibonics, this app with my coaching, is because in 15 seconds, it takes the resonance of the emotions that are expressed through your vocal cords, and it will show you the emotions you carry. So then you look at it, right? And this is a real thing. People will confuse excitement with stress or fear. I've had women that I've worked with that were saying, I went on a date with this guy. I thought he was really exciting. But when I checked in, it said I was very fearful.
Wow.
And I said, you know, so then you get into it. And this is a person that has had consistently bad men that have been very abusive to them. And they continue to pick that guy because they have associated fear with excitement.
Right.
And they don't know how to disassociate because they're living in their head. They're not feeling with their body. And so what I always do is I say, when you get those emotions back and you see what they are, particularly the negative, it's what you said, the negative emotions will last longer than 90 seconds if you don't feel them.
Yeah.
If you feel it, it dissipates. It's gone. Because it's been heard and now it can release. It can release. But if it has not been heard, then the delusion within that emotion, not the wisdom that's there for you to garner, the delusion becomes that raging thing that builds and builds and builds till it's released and it's heard, but you don't even really know where it's coming from. And so we've got to get out of our heads, and I'll just say, okay, just don't even think about why that emotion's there, what it's for, whatever. Just try to locate it. Where is that emotion? Where is fear residing in your body? Try to find it. Get out of your head and just try to find where you feel it in your body. And people will say, oh, I feel it. You know, everyone has it. And now I actually can feel, like before I check in, I can tell you what I'm carrying, because I know that sadness and loneliness for me reside in my body very closely, but they actually are in different places.
Hmm.
So I can say, oh, I feel that here. That's sadness. I feel that over here. That's loneliness. It's interesting how you begin to, and you can feel the shape of it within yourself. So training yourself to do that is counterculture. Our culture says, don't feel it, stiff upper lip, you know, keep going. You can be happy or you can be really angry if it's justified. But other than that, let's not see anything. It's embarrassing.
I mean, it's so true. I mean, that's what the whole basis of polishing the mirror is looking deep within. Being willing to allow those emotions to surface that we have pressed down and pushed down. We've folded them neatly and nicely, and we've tucked them down in there so that they don't surface ever again. But that doesn't happen. They always surface in some way or another. Mm-hmm. Yes. And when we embrace that and allow them to surface and serve their purpose, they can move on and we can move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's this whole process of learning how to do that. And so with what you do, James, do you take people through a process of that? Like, how do you teach people to do that?
So my main process, I work as a business coach. I work largely with dentists and entrepreneurs. And I used to do a lot of stuff with private equity and oil and gas leadership development stuff. But mostly I really like small businesses. And I really love working with dentists because it's the typical profile. Even though there's a lot of female dentists now, it's still the typical profile as a man running a business with a bunch of women working with him. And men and women, the same. I've done them on both. We tend to ignore the emotions of our staff. We tend to ignore until it becomes such a problem that we have to deal with it. So if you want a tight, galvanized team that's solving problems, engaged with you, giving you the most, really going to the mat for you, you've got to listen to what their emotions are saying. And very few leaders are willing to do that. They just want it.
They don't
work.
Even know what their own emotions say. Exactly. They listen to others.
Yeah. So I have a thing. You can go on my website and I'll do a free consult, and I have 90 days to a drama-free workspace is what I do.
Oh, I love that. Let's see. I'm pulling this up here. For those of you watching, James's website is www.jamesgburnham.com. Yep. That's for those of you listening as well. So you can go there and you have, what did you say, 90 days?
90 days to a drama-free workspace. And you can click on a link there and book a free consult with me and chat with me. And, you know, I'll give you the time to decide whether or not you want to work with me, because we have to want to work together. It's not a, you know.
That's the thing. Like when I do my coaching clients, we have an upfront meeting like, are you ready for this? Like, are you willing to do what it's going to take? Are you ready to acknowledge what's in there and deal with what's in there? Because it's so true. Like a person has to be ready and willing and allow the things to come up. Like it's a form of therapy. I see what you and I do as a form of therapy.
Yeah. I loved what you said about how emotions are like, I call them the sixth sense, right? They're really your first line of defense out there. They're the first thing that is going to trigger warnings for you of what to be alert for. And you get to listen to determine, is this actually a threat? Because it's a high threat. Your emotions are your number one. Their default is this a threat? I need you to survive. In order to move beyond survival out of your amygdala and get into beyond brainstem function into prefrontal cortex, higher learning, higher thought, and engage in that way, you have to let your emotions have their word. Once that's done, you move beyond that habitual performance into something that's different. Now you're engaging the full capacity of your mind and your body, and you can come up with really incredible solutions. And I have witnessed this with the people I work for, that particularly through COVID, facing what they thought was the end of their business and coming up with solutions with a team that is now galvanized that make them more money than they ever made before in a place where they believe the end of the business was about to happen. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
That's amazing. And it, you know, it made me think of, you know, most of the time in the workplace, you're obviously there to do business. You're serious. You got to check off the list. You got to do all the things. And so it's exactly what you said. The emotions are like the last thing on the list there for people to pay attention to as far as coworkers, employees, employers. But if we can flip that around, which is, it sounds like that's what you're doing, and bring that to the front, like, hey, this is the first thing we need to be conscious of.
Yeah.
We need to be working with the emotions first.
Yeah.
And then we can go down and it will make the other steps so much easier. Like I'm just thinking about workplaces that I have been in, and when there was no emotional intelligence at all, I did not feel valued. I did not feel appreciated at all. But when that emotional connection is there, the emotional understanding, then those things happen automatically. Are you seeing that happen?
Yeah. I just had a scenario. I was working with a guy and he had a staff member that he had hired, an essential person in his staff. He'd hired this person to come in, and she was very sick and legitimately sick. She was in the hospital, but they kept like booking appointments that she was the only one that could do. And then it would cause major problems with all of the patient care when she didn't show up, and it kept happening. And he's talking to me about the cost to his business. I can't keep doing this. This is hurting me. I don't know what to do. I really need her. But all he's talking about really, other than the casual kind of, I really need her, talking about, this is an expense that I cannot bear. I don't know what, I have to get rid of this. I got to change it. So we get back, you know, like I talk to him first, and then I find out, well, but you really need this person and you really want them to perform. Yeah. And you want to help them in this situation you're in. You don't want to abandon them because you feel bad about it, but you can't afford to keep going like you're going. And he's like, yeah. I was like, okay, so let's go into the meeting with this girl and let's first talk about, imagine she's got a meeting called. She's not been performing. If she's anyone of any intelligence, she knows that's a trigger, that she's in trouble. Yeah. And so you want to give her safety. Let her know she's okay, that you're concerned for her, that you, because he really was, he was deeply concerned about his business. That's what he was talking to me about. But this other undercurrent kept coming up. So we went to that. And that's where he really, how do I take care of this person and afford it? He didn't know how to do it without her help. Right. Mm-hmm. So I said, that's where you start. Start with, how are you? I'm so worried about your health. You've been in the hospital, you know? Right. And so he went and he sat down and he did this. Right. And this woman came up with solutions that she had provided for him when she felt safe and knew that he wanted her, versus he was going in to say, look, I can't use you anymore. I'm going to have to fire you. And she helped him bridge the gap to find a person to replace her.
Oh my goodness.
And is able to stay on part-time while she works through these health things, right? So it works for everybody, but that's not a solution that you come up with in a vacuum. Your emotions, you know, they're heightened. You're worried. Money's an essential component, but what are your emotions really telling you? It's often different than the actions that you would take when you kind of deal with them. And that's what happened. They came up with a really great solution.
Ah, that's such a great story. Oh my gosh. I love that because it proves that when you look at things from a different perspective, there are so many options. And I think that's, we're missing that because we don't know from what perspective to be looking at it. And and as humans, we all have emotions.
Yeah.
That's one thing we all have in common.
Yes.
But it's like you said, we don't know how to speak that language. It's a language that we all have, but we don't know how to speak it.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like if you and I and people like us can really help people understand better how to speak this language.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Imagine how it could change the world.
Well, it does change the world, and the statistics are behind it, right? They've also done studies on the leaders that are really having an impact, right? The leaders in companies that are showing high levels of emotional intelligence, they make more money, they have better teams, they have less turnover, they have higher production, they solve problems versus collapse under them. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And so if you're wanting just as an individual to better your life, if you have high emotional intelligence, HR right now, I work with a recruitment company out of Silicon Valley. They hire C-suite executives and they use my app to discover whether or not somebody has empathy so that they can hire leaders that have empathy, because decisions made without empathy are always bad for the company.
Yeah.
They may have a short-term kick because you're playing with numbers, but long-term, unemotional companies with no emotional intelligence or low emotional intelligence, they do not perform as well as those that have high emotionally intelligent leaders. And there's not a lot out there. There's very few out there. So you can really get on the cutting edge of that. You can get on the cutting edge by becoming one of those people. It's scary to do though, right? You got to face some demons.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. You have to face those before you can really, really move on.
Yep.
And as far as like, if you are watching or listening and you're like, I don't really know what emotional intelligence is. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Can you talk about that for just a second, James?
Yeah. So Daniel Goleman wrote a book, I think in 1995, that is kind of considered the foundation of emotional intelligence. It was actually first written about by another guy earlier in the 1990s, but Daniel Goleman is the kind of the father of the industry.
And he's how I learned. That's exactly how I learned by reading his book. Yeah.
He's got great stuff, and he breaks it into 16 attributes, but I made it a little simpler, but I love his definition. And his definition is really basically emotional intelligence is the capacity to understand and to feel and know what is going on within yourself and control it, as well as knowing what's going on within others and have influence over it. Right. And so if you have the capacity to control what's going on within yourself, if you will recognize, oh, I have fear. So here's an example of that. My father had a massive stroke in September on his birthday in 2022, right? 86 year old man. And we all thought he was going to die. Everybody thought he was going to die. It was a massive stroke. Right. And so we gathered my whole family. And we're discussing what's going to happen, you know, what are the plans? And I check in on my Vibonics app and my fear is at 100%.
Mm.
And my brother checks in and his fear is at 100%.
Wow.
And I swore, I said, I'm not effing scared. Are you scared? That's what I said to my brother, right? and he looks at me, he says, no, I'm not scared. And then I thought to myself, well, this app is 87% accurate based on the vibrations of your vocal cords. So there's a 13% chance that I'm right and it's wrong. I'm going to play the odds and get curious about this and consider that maybe I'm scared and not acknowledging it, right? Yeah. So I get out of my head, I drop into my body, and I felt the fear. Just fear emanates off of my chest. It's like a wall that it comes to. That's how I feel it and I see it. And I'm aware of it now. But it was just like, boom, I felt it.
Wow.
And of course I did. I thought my dad was dying.
Yeah, I know. Why wouldn't you, right?
Makes all the sense in the world. But in that situation, it made no sense to me. But the process of allowing myself to accept it and feel it for those 90 seconds released
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yes.
And then that week, which was very challenging for our family. We have a great family. We get along. And my elder brother, he's a phenomenal leader. And we all look to him to run these situations. And he did a great job that whole week. But I could see him struggling, deeply struggling at times to maintain his cool because he was stressed too. Everyone was stressed.
Yeah. Right.
And so there's combating interest. There's things being said, and, you know, just out of fear and frustration. And I didn't think anything particular of it. By the end of the week, my brother comes up to me and he says, James, I don't know what you did this week, but man alive, you were amazing. You were so cool and calm the whole week.
Wow.
It was amazing to watch. And I thought,
wow.
That's exactly what I thought.
But
I had confronted my biggest emotion. And was my fear gone? No, actually it wasn't. My fear was still very there, but I knew what it was about. And I knew what it was in regards to. And so when things came in that irritated me, they weren't able to latch on to that fear and use it to jump ahead.
Yeah.
That was not what that was about. And so I didn't confuse them because I knew what it was about. And then it didn't bleed into my life in other ways. It stayed where it was meant to stay.
Yeah,
you're okay to be scared about your losing your dad. You're just not okay to yell at this person because they want to do something different than you want to.
Yes,
and that's where it becomes a problem, right? And so that's how I found it to be extremely valuable. And in my own case, I've also seen it when I've worked with businesses, like in the situation where I've got a guy ready to fire somebody that he needs, right? It's fear or whatever that emotion is. You've got to address it, and then you can handle way more than you think you can.
It's so true. I mean, you know, I'm turning in my manuscript tomorrow for my book. Mm. The deadline is tomorrow. So I have chronicled the 10-year journey of me pushing through all that I have been through.
Yeah.
And I didn't write about it in the book, but emotional intelligence played a huge role in everything I have been able to go through. And there's someone asking a question, if you will repeat again the definition of emotional intelligence.
Yeah. So emotional intelligence is your ability to manage and understand your own emotions, as well as influence the emotions of those around you.
So it literally
and
is.
So there's some pillars of it. So that's it. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's fine. It literally is becoming intelligent, learning about the emotional system, how it works in your body and how it works in other people's bodies. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are not aware of this, who didn't even know this was a thing, which most people don't.
Yeah.
Then I would definitely recommend starting with Daniel Goleman's book. I don't even know what his first one is. Do you know the name of it?
Emotional Intelligence.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think he's redone it. It's like Emotional Intelligence 2.0 now. He's got a draft of it that's out like that. So, okay. But yeah, look for Daniel Goleman, Emotional Intelligence. It's a great place to start. And yeah. Everything else is, there's no new information. It's just different kind of, he applies it to very specific scenarios and other people apply it to other scenarios, but it's all the same stuff.
Yes, that's Daniel Goleman, G-O-L-E-M-A-N.
That's right.
Goleman. Yeah. And yeah, I remember reading that book for the first time and my mind was blown. It was like, I had this kind of innate sense about it. And I feel like that's the case that some of us just kind of have this innate sense about it, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And when I realized that's what it is, I was like, I have to know more about this. Yeah. And if you're that kind of person, you're going to love this book. You're going to love Emotional Intelligence. You're going to love learning about it and how it can literally change your life. Like literally, oh my gosh, this has been such an amazing conversation, James. I like hate to cut it off because I could talk about you and I both. We could talk about this all the time. Like we need to have like a special session or something, do something collaborative where we just like let it fly and just talk about this, you know, as long as we want to.
We could do clinics. That's what I do. I do clinics for companies all the time. It's an endless, I mean, it is the first and foremost method of our communication. From the time we're babies, we communicate our emotions and we're told to stop it.
Yeah.
And we need to stop that. We need to start allowing us to express and feel and understand so that we can have far more influence. You have far more influence than you understand until you get a manage and control of what's going on within you.
So true. And it reminds me, I have a friend, let's see, I can't say too much about this. Let me say it incognito. From what I understand, the education systems are no longer able or are going to removing the word emotional in everything that they're referring to. So there's no more social emotional learning, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
Like this we have to be educating our kids in this, but the school systems are trying to pull it out, which is a whole nother conversation, but I didn't know if you were aware of that because that's,
well, I'm
that's
working with school systems that are using the app. So I think that
really?
There's, so there are schools that are open and interested in this. And clearly there are school districts with, uneducated people. And that's a shame that they have the power to influence that when they, clearly are people that are not emotionally intelligent. If that's what you're doing, you do not understand. You do not understand.
Yes.
It's that simple.
Exactly. I need to talk to you more about this for sure, because you and I, we need to talk about this further off the podcast because
I would love
things
that.
I need to pick your brain about regarding that. So good. Okay. So if you want to know more about James or connect with him, get in touch with him, work with him, his website again is www.jamesgburnham.com. Feel free to reach out to him. Are you on all of the socials or your links on your website?
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on TikTok and I'm on LinkedIn. Okay. Those are the ones I'm on. Yeah.
Okay. Are the links on your website or they can just...
I think so. Yeah, I think they are. I'm so bad about this. This is... The technical side
of
things is,
James.
I've gotten really dialed in on the emotional side and the technical side I struggle with. And it's a shame. I actually hired a team and they're helping me with this right now to get all my automation and stuff set up so that people can access me better. Because right now, if you get to me, good job.
Yeah. If we can find you, people can find you. They've done a lot.
Yeah. You've been great.
Yeah. And I did put in the description for those that will allow it, and I'll put this in the podcast platforms, the link to that app that you kept talking about.
Yeah.
There's a 7-day, talk about that for just a minute, please.
So there's a 7-day free trial to this app. It was created by a woman in Utah, in Southern Utah, named Christy. And Christy spent a lot of time developing this, and it's on technology that was developed in Europe and then later tested at MIT. And basically, through your vocal cords, every emotion that you have is expressed through your voice. That's why when you have a daughter or a son call you and say, "Mom," you hear immediately they're in trouble. You know yeah. they are, even if they say they're okay, because you can hear it dripping through. Right now, yeah. we have greater sensors than in these microphones now, and they use AI, and they can just 15 seconds. You just count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 15, and then it'll give you a whole breakdown of your emotional palette, and it's fascinating.
Amazing.
And then it'll teach. So then I help you, or you can use Christy. It doesn't matter, to help you to learn to get out of your head into your body and feel what's there, and do not worry about your score. Everyone's worried that, like, EQ and emotional intelligence are so utterly measured in a different way.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks EQ, right? You don't have to study. You got it. This is what it is. Emotional intelligence is variable. So I moved up to take care of my father this year, and it was a tough move for me, really tough. And, you know, there's a lot going on with that. My emotional intelligence scores plummeted during the transition.
Yeah.
But I was aware of the fact that I was dealing with heavy emotions. And now I've been here for 6 months. And guess what? My emotions, I'm settling, are coming back up. My intelligence is going up. So I was getting scores in like 50s, 40s sometimes, right? Which was low for me. And now I'm in the 80s and 90s on the regular. If you get your ego about it, you get frustrated because you want your score to be high. But your score will vary, and it's an indicator I'm in some stuff, and I need to be aware of that, and I need to treat myself with sensitivity instead of
accept the reality bludgeoning
through it,
right?
And that's what it teaches you. And it's a difficult lesson to learn because we're a society that bases things on scores and numbers, and, you know, we're built that way. It's egoistic society. Yeah. And this is not an egoistic pursuit. This is the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Embrace the reality of it.
Yeah.
Accept the message. And that it can vary, go up and down.
Just, it will.
Yeah.
On the daily.
It absolutely will.
Yeah.
So good. Oh my gosh. Like I said, I could talk forever. Okay, James, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your expertise with us. And
I appreciate the time
sharing this app. Like I said, there's a link in the description. It's a 7-day free trial for you to try it out and see what you think about it. So if you're on one of the platforms that does not include the link, then just message me and I will send you the link to that 7-day free trial and we'll get you fixed up. So it was such an honor, James. Thank you for being here. We'll have to continue doing this for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would love to. I really enjoyed the conversation, Amy. I think what you're doing is very valuable. I believe that people's greatest successes and powers lie within their greatest pain. And polishing that mirror will get you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, yeah. It's so good. Oh my gosh, so good. Well, thank you all for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. If you find this episode worthy of a 5-star review, please review us and give us a 5-star review. That will help us reach more people because we want to share these stories of hope gained in the midst of adversity. That's what this podcast is all about, sharing the message of hope to help more people. So please help us do that. If you are watching and feel it worthy of sharing, please share it so that we can reach more people as well. So thank you again for watching. Thanks for being here. And I will be back next week with another special guest. All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.